Good morning and a very blessed Lord's Day to everyone. It's so wonderful to be able to worship the Lord every Lord's Day together as a family, as a body of Christ. Now this morning we turn our hearts to the institution of the Lord's Supper. Now we are almost coming to the end of the Gospel of Mark. Today we'll be looking at the institution of the Lord's Supper. In the previous passage, Jesus exposed the danger of empty words and false discipleship that was brought to us by our pastoral intern Ting Han, you know, and moving us from saying, "It is I," to confessing, "I am He." Now, at the table, Jesus calls his disciples to not remember themselves, but to remember him. The words engraved on our communion table, "Do this in remember of me," inspired me for my sermon title this morning, "Do this in remembrance of me." In fact, many churches, their communion tables, they do have this inscription. Now, this inscription, "Do this in remembrance of me," captured the heart of this passage that we are given today. Each time as we gathered at the Lord's table, we remember Christ's sacrificial love. His body was given, his blood shed, his life offered as a ransom for many. The Lord's table is not merely ritual. It is remembrance shaped by redemption, gratitude, and hope. Now, throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus has repeatedly foretold his suffering and death. You can go back to Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Mark chapter 9, verse 31, Mark 10, verse 33 and 34. And it climaxing in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, which is our memory verses. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus' death is the price paid to set captives free, free from sin, free from guilt and condemnation, and free from the fear of death. Jesus' death is a ransom for many. It means the price paid to free a slave or captive. Jesus' death is the price paid to set people free. Free from sin, free from guilt and condemnations. Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Free from death's power, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Indeed, Jesus' death, freedom from sin, guilt, condemnation, and death. Now, before we go further, to exposit this passage. I want to share with you not just the historical context, but the significance of the Passover. As we meditate on the institute of the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us to have a better understanding so that we can appreciate the significance of the Passover. That is why I have chosen Exodus 12, you know, for our responsive scripture reading. The passage that we read just now tells the story of the Passover, where the Israelites sacrificed a lamb and marked their doors with its blood. Now, this act saves them from God's judgment and also foreshadowing Jesus as the Lamb of God. Now, of all the days of the year when Jesus could have decided to give his life over, he has chosen this time, the Passover. And I submit to you that it is not random, it is not coincidence, it is intentional that he chose the Passover. The Passover is the background for what Jesus was going to do as he instituted the Lord's Supper. And so to understand the Lord's Supper, you know, meaningfully, significantly, we first need to understand the Passover and what would have been in the mind of the disciples when Jesus sat down with his disciples for this communion. The Passover commemorated Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. God rescued his helpless people through the blood of the lamb, you know, placed on their doorpost. So when judgment came, the Lord passed over. That's why it was called the Passover. The homes marked by the blood. And this event became a lasting memorial, a declaration of God's saving power and his covenantal love for his people. So the Passover was Israel's Independence Day. Now, Independence Day is very important to, in fact, all the countries, right? Just like our National Day, on August the 9th, we celebrate and remind, you know, where we come from. So the Passover, the Israel Independence Day, reminding them that they were once slaves, but now redeemed by God's mighty hand. But it is not just only backward-looking, but it was also forward-looking. Each celebration carried the hope that God would once again act to deliver his people fully, not just out of the bondage of slavery, you know, but raising a prophet like Moses and establishing his kingdom, again foreshadowing Jesus. The Passover story is not just a story, not merely historical. It is deeply personal. I hope that we all can identify with the Israelites. For myself, I was a slave, was bondage to sin. I cannot save myself. I was helpless. I was hopeless. But God heard my cries and he rescued me and delivered me out of the power of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus is my Redeemer. Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is my Lord. My brothers and sisters, I trust that all of you can identify with the story. You all have a Passover story to tell. Like Israel, we were once enslaved to sin, helpless, unable to save ourselves in the bondage. But God, by His grace, heard our cry and delivered us through Jesus Christ, the true Passover Lamb. May we always be reminded and be grateful. And so with this background in mind, we now turn to Jesus' action at the table. That will be our passage this morning. Mark 14:22-26. First, look at verse 22. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and He broke it and gave it to His disciples. Now, this action is very familiar within the Passover meal. Yet Jesus transformed its meaning with this word: "This is my body. This is my body." And with this decoration, Jesus placed Himself as the center of Israel's hope. The bread no longer merely recalled deliverance from Egypt. It now pointed to Himself. His body would be given to His people. He offered not something external, but His very own self. Jesus is the true bread of life, come down from heaven to give life to the world. Now, I always and often stress, you know, that physical bread, physical food sustains the body, you know, give us physical nourishment, health. But Christ sustains us, the soul, the spiritual nourishment, the bread of life. And so by His sacrificial death, He frees us from the slavery of sin and grants us true freedom, true life. The bread also proclaims our unity. As the Apostle Paul writes, the bread that we break, it is not a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. Now, as we share the bread, we confess that we belong to Christ, we belong to one another. We gather as a family. We are forgiven, we are united by His sacrifice. So this is very significant. Each time as we partake of the sacraments, let us be reminded of that. Now, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus took the cup and declared, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Now, in Scripture, blood represents life. Covenants were ratified through blood, signifying life given to establish a binding relationship. So Jesus' words echoes Isaiah 53:12, where the servant of the Lord poured out his soul to death and bore the sin of many. Isaiah 53:12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Now these two ideas are merged together in the phrase, the blood of the covenant. Jesus gave his life to enact a new covenant to which we enjoy forgiveness of sin and freedom from sins. And let us listen to how the prophet Zechariah used this picture in Zechariah 9:11. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. The blood of the covenant sets us free from the pit that we are in. So the picture of freedom and release as in the Passover is filled in our memorial in the Lord's Supper. And further, Jesus' death seals us into a covenant relationship with him. And this is the very idea, you know, where we see this phrase used after the Exodus from Egyptian slavery. In Exodus 24, 6 to 8, it says, and Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar, and he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. As they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So the blood of the covenant speaks of our commitment to keeping the covenant in which we have been sealed with blood. And this also speaks to our unity with Christ and belonging to him. Again, listen to the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. The cup of blessings that we bless, it is not a participation in the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Indeed, by partaking of the cup and also the bread, we are declaring our love and our commitment to Jesus and his covenant. We are affirming our end of the covenant in that we will be faithful to Jesus. We will be obedient to him. And I really hope that, you know, as we have a deeper understanding of the significance of the Passover, you know, the significance of the sacraments of the bread and the cup, we will really be obedient and faithful to our Lord Jesus. But there is one more picture that Jesus gives, which is in verse 25. Jesus says, truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day he drinks it new in the kingdom of God. Now here, Jesus takes an oath before his disciples, the disciples. What Jesus is declaring to them is that this is the last Passover, the last supper, that he will be with them. What Jesus is about to do through his death on the cross is to bring in the kingdom of God, to usher in the kingdom of God. The hope of the Passover is about to truly arrive. Jesus has come to bring his people into the kingdom of God, and so that they can have their sins forgiven and enjoy sweet fellowship with the Lord. This is an amazing declaration Jesus had just said that he is giving his life. This is my body. And his blood he will pour out so that the new covenant will be put into effect. This is the blood of the covenant. Yet Jesus is also declaring that this will not be his end. This will not be his end, for he will drink it in the kingdom of God. He is bringing the kingdom of God, and he is going to be alive to see this. So the same picture was also displayed in Isaiah's prophecy. He said, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." Isaiah 53 verse 10. Though Jesus would suffer and die, death would not be the end. Isaiah foretold that the suffering servant would see his offspring and prolong his days. Jesus' sacrifice would lead to victory, to lead to resurrection and his fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. The Lord's Supper therefore looks forward as well as backward. We remember Christ's death. Rejoice in his presence reigned over our life, interceding for us, and anticipating the future feast when we will drink with him in glory. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this blessed hope we have. And lastly, we look at verse 26. The hymns of hope. The Passover event also included singing. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The people of Israel would sing the Hallel Psalms, which are Psalms 113 to 118. And in particularly, they would usually sing the final Hallel Psalms. That is Psalm 115 to Psalm 118. And so, Jesus and his disciples leave for the Mount of Olives singing those songs. Psalm 115 gives glory to God. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And listen to some of the words of Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay the vows, my vows to the Lord in the presence of the people. Psalm 116, 12 to 14. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Verse 17. And then we hear the words of Psalm 117 also. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And then Psalm 118 begins and ends with these words. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. It's filled with great hope. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side and he is my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. I thank you that you have answered me and you have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I often like to share this, you know, in the beginning of the days with my families, with my friends, every now and then. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And some of you know, that I love to share psalms. You know, in our SAF pulpit schedule, so we have done that. And in my devotion in Ling Kwang Home in SAF, truly psalm is a very, very beautiful book. You know, the language is so beautiful, it's very poetic, and I often evoke emotions. Really, I love psalm. You know, the psalmist helped me to express words, the feeling, the emotion that a lot of time I can't. Jesus is our Passover. He gave himself so that we could escape the judgment that we deserved. He gave himself so that we could enter into a new covenant that forgives our sins. Jesus gave himself so that we could enjoy fellowship with the Lord. He gave himself so that we could be united with each other, with our Lord. So in partaking of the Holy Communion, we are proclaiming the benefits of the Lord and our commitment to the covenant. So let us call on the name of the Lord for salvation and offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord. And like the Passover, we have no reason for fear because of the offering of Jesus. The Lord sees the blood of Jesus and passes over us. We are brought out of slavery and led to the promised land with the Lord. So, beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus' words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, every third week as we partake of the Lord's Supper, they are calling us to live a life of gratitude, sacrifice that is shaped by the cross, and to commit to living out his love and kingdom values. So next week is our third Sunday, and we will be, as I really pray that every time that as we remember, as we partake of the bread and the wine, we are challenged. We are grateful. We are challenged to remember Christ not only on our lips, but with obedient hearts, with trusting his broken body for our forgiveness, and living under his power, his covenant blood, and walking as people of hope that is belonging to his kingdom. So like the disciples who sang hymns before heading into the darkness of Gethsemane, we too are called to leave the table each time strengthened, our faith deepened, our love deepened, ready to follow Christ faithfully, to love sacrificially, and to live in hope, anticipating of the day, that we will drink anew with our Lord Jesus in glory. So I hope that this morning, understanding of the Lord's Supper or the Holy Communion will help us really appreciate each time as we partake of the elements and continue to walk close with the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us. Amen.